And in these exciting times, we see the Lord orchestrating everything. There are times in our lives when we just feel like, is the Lord taking a nap? But the scripture says that he neither slumbers nor does he sleep. In all these aspects, we know the Father's will is to be done. To be done in our lives and in everyone's lives. And just as Barbara was sharing about the third temple being possibly built in the near future, it was Hezekiah's tunnel, which was a way of getting water whenever Jerusalem was being besieged. And that was our main water source. And could it possibly be that the Kohanim, as they were carrying the ark, as the Babylonians were breaching the city over the city walls, could it not, the Spirit of Living God descended upon them and they went to a place that they had already prepared, a vault just adjacent to Hezekiah's tunnel, and to simply place the Ark of the Covenant there, and then to seal up that, and then to place boulders and other items in front of it that would appear to that it's everything is solid. And I don't want to get Raiders of the Lost Ark on you right now, but there's a possibility of stones being released that was held up by cedars from Lebanon, not just one vault door, but multiple ones, so that those that were digging and searching for the Ark of the Covenant in Hezekiah's tunnel would be dissuaded and say, well, it's just all stone. Because they say that the stones that are on the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, towards the bottom of it, are so large that we don't even have equipment today that can even move that. And it's just amazing, you know, all these things that are there. And we live in such a time where the Lord can orchestrate all these things. But know this, one of the greatest deterrents of Jewish people coming to full knowledge of who Messiah is rabbinical Judaism. So Adonai has to remove the influence of rabbinical Judaism that has never led anyone to the Messiah to be replaced. And it's going to have to be something seen far greater worth than that of being following the interpretations and the commentaries of the rabbis. And so what is that going to be but the third temple being rebuilt, the sacrificial system starting for a period of time? But it's amazing when you read in the book of Revelation, there it speaks it only lasts for 3 to 3.5 years. The temple sacrifice will be renewed. And I know as we're going through the book of Hebrews, Messianic Jews, that book is going to be the very hot topic once that third temple is erected and the priesthood is started again and the sacrificial system is started again. All these things are going to come about. And the Jewish people are going to leave and flee rabbinical Judaism as never before, and they'll go back to biblical Judaism, which is a path and the way that points to Mashiach, Messiah. So these are all exciting times. And the Lord will ordain all these things. But we are simply to be doing what? See what the Father is doing in our community and simply focus on that. And so, Adonai, if it is your will for you to reestablish the third temple during our lifetime, let your will be done. You would not cause the Orthodox community to then go forward and to assign Levites and to begin to practice and do all these things. You would have not had them select from of their own brothers, possibly the drawing of lots, because nothing has been revealed to us in this whole entirety. Just like when they drew the lots to replace Judas, who was a betrayer, that the Jewish Orthodox could have taken lots and then cast, written down the name of the man who was to serve as the first high priest for Israel for over 2,000 years. And Father, this can be all orchestrated by your will and by your plan. And so, Father, we know that your word is true. And when these changes happen, we're not to be dissuaded. We're not to be disappointed. But to know that everything that is written in the scripture is yes and amen, and you will fulfill it in your timing. So, Father, we just want to give you glory and honor and praise for who you are and who you have made us, both those of the tribes of Israel and those who have been grafted in, one people, eternal high priests and kings that will serve you throughout all eternity. And so, Father, we humbly ask right now that you'll begin to remove the veil from our people's eyes, Almighty God, specifically Jewish people's eyes, that when they see that when biblical Judaism is restored through the rebuilding of the third temple and the sacrificial system will be established, that this is your ordination to draw them closer so that they will lay aside the commentaries, the Talmud, the Midrash, and all these other writings of the rabbis, and they will turn to the Torah. And as they meditate upon the Torah, the Ruach can come and speak to their hearts and minds and souls and open their eyes so they can see Messiah yet again. And that one day when they are after those 3.5 years, when they have that time and that opportunity where the sacrificial system is reestablished in all these things, that, Father, that they then will see the abomination that leads to desolation shall appear. And then they will begin to think, Adonai, what are you doing? You've allowed Hasatan's representative to be established in your holy temple. And just like Zeus, the Greeks brought Zeus and said, he is your God. And there was persecution of your people. Then they will cry out, begin to cry out, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then the scripture says that Israel will be saved in one day. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, we know how to pray according to your word. May everything be established by the power of your word. And may you draw your holy remnant and those who are walking to deception right now, Almighty God, the body, extended body of Messiah, may they draw close to you, that the deceiver's lies will be revealed to them, that they will return yet to their first love, who is Messiah. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is part 2, Acts of the Emissaries of Yeshua, chapter 7. And we'll be digging more into the Tanakh as it relates to what is being shared here. Acts chapter 7, verse 1. The Kohen Hagadol asked, are these accusations true? And Stephen said, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The glory appeared to Avraham Avinu in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And so with this, here are some of the insights. Stephen had been charged with having taught against Moshe and God and the temple and the Torah. In other words, against everything Judaism stands for, demonstrating that the best defense is a good offense. He then goes and then he charges the religious leaders after the manner of the prophets, saying, it is they who have abandoned each one of these four sacred trusts. Now going on, brothers and fathers, Stephen, just like Kepha, Peter, in Acts chapters 2:29 and 3:17, speaks as a fellow Jew, one of the family. His critique is no more anti-Semitic than those of his predecessors, the prophets. The God of glory, his first words to refute the change that he has, spoken blasphemous against God. That's recorded in Acts 6:11, that false charge was against Stephen. His regard for the one God is demonstrated consistently throughout his speech. Abraham Avinu, Abraham our father, a phrase common in the Jewish discourse in Mesopotamia and in Ur of the Chaldees, Genesis 15:7. Now going back to Acts chapter 7, verse 3. And said to him, speaking of Abraham, leave your land and your family and go into the land that I will show you. Where is that found? But in Bereshit, which is Genesis 12:2. So Stephen is quoting the beginnings of the faith of the fathers. He's directing them right at the foundational stone, which is our father Abraham. Because it says this, not only Israel shall be blessed, but all the nations of earth shall be blessed by and through him and through his seed, both his seed being plural and also the seed of Messiah being singular, the Redeemer of all people. Now going on to 7:4. So he left the land of Chasidim and lived in Haran. After his father died, God made him move to this land where we are now living. And he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a space of 1 foot. Where is that found? But in Deuteronomy 2:5, Davarim in Hebrew. Yet he promised to give him a possession and to his descendants after him. Where is that found? Not just once, but multiple times. And here it is. In Genesis, which in Hebrew is Bereshit, 12:7, 13:15, 15:4-7, 8 and 18-21, chapter 17:8, chapter 24:7, and chapter 48:4. Think about that. Confirming, giving confirmation over and over and over again. God's promises are yes and amen. Even at though at that very time he was childless, who is it speaking of? Avraham, Avinu. Verse 6, what God said to him was, your descendants will be aliens in a foreign land where they will be in slavery and oppressed for 400 years. Now we dig a little deeper here. Stephen paints a picture of the majority of Israel refusing to honor those whom God chose to bring them salvation. He had promised them, especially Joseph, who was recognized by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, a Gentile, but not of his own brothers, and Moshe. Let's go back to 7:7 here. But I will judge the nation that enslaves them, God said, and afterwards they will leave and worship me in this place. So both of the oppression was laid out, and also the restoration was brought there. And where is that found? But in Genesis 15:13-14 and verse 16. Going on to verse 7:8. And he gave him the Brit Milah, which is what? Circumcision. The mark of the covenant that every one of your males at the age of 8 days shall have the Brit Milah done to them so that they, from that point on, are recognized as being sons of the covenant. Going forward here. So he became the father of Yitzhak and did his Brit Milah on the 8th day. And Yitzhak became the father of Yaakov, and Yaakov the father of the 12 patriarchs. But if you think about Moshe, he had 2 sons, did he not? And they were more than 8 days old. And his wife Sapphira knew what was to be done, and brought them to him when they were, it doesn't say how old they were. They could have been their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. All right? It doesn't reveal that to us. And Moshe, even knowing what God's command was, this is prior to the Torah, did not live that in his own lifestyle. You can see how the things of Egypt had clouded his mind in all these things. Now let's go very quickly forward here in verse 9. Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Joseph, and sold him to slavery in Egypt, but Adonai was with him. Where is that found? But in Genesis 37:11 and 23:39-3, verse 21 and 23. Confirmation that just as Adonai had done with Abraham, he had to confirm these things, not just once, but time and time again. Do we not find times in our lives where we feel that hope is just kind of vanishing from our lives? Don't we need confirmation? So where do we get the confirmation? But the Word of God. We have it written before us, but to them it was spoken. And the literal presence of Adonai was there. And this is what I'd say to you. When you read the written Word, Adonai's presence is with you. Because His Word is alive. Let's move forward. 7:10, He rescued them from all his troubles and gave him favor over Egypt and over all his household. Where is that recorded? But in Genesis 41, 37 through 44. Now there came a famine that caused much suffering throughout Egypt and Canaan. Where is that found? In Acts. It's spoken in the book of Acts, chapter 7. But it is found in Genesis, which in Hebrew is Bereshit, 4:54. And 42:5, going on to verse 12 of Acts 7. But when Yaakov heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. The second time, Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers. Where is that found? In Genesis 45:1. And Yosef's family became known to Pharaoh. And Yosef sent for his father Yaakov, Jacob, and all his relatives, 75, to come at that time. And they came in all these things. Now going on to verse 15. And Yaakov went down to Egypt, and there he died, as did his other ancestors. Their bodies were removed to Shechem and buried in a tomb Abraham had bought from the family of Hamor in Shechem. For a certain sum of money in all these things. Now going to the insights, digging a little deeper of 7:16. According to the Hebrew text of the Tanakh, Abraham brought a burial cave in Hebron. Where is that recorded? It's recorded in Genesis, Bereshit in Hebrew, 23:2-20, in which Yaakov was buried by Yosef. Where is that recorded? In Genesis 49:29 and 50:13. Yaakov brought a field from Hamor in Shechem. Where is that recorded? In Genesis 33:18-19, in which the bones of Yosef were placed centuries later. And who was that done by? But Joshua. Where is that recorded? In Joshua chapter 24:32. And you see, it's amazing where part of the Messianic community, who happens to be Christians, never teach, never preach from the Tanakh. They're only preaching a half a message. All God's word is so interwoven with itself. To get full understanding and revelation, you cannot separate one from another. Because you have to understand it, as Brother David shared today, as he's been spending time reading through the Psalms, that he's understanding the times and the culture of the people. It speaks to us through the Word of God if we will simply meditate upon it and focus on it and allow the Spirit of living God to bring that culture to our mindset, that we may embrace that culture and receive it. And to understand Scripture in its fullness. Going on here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 7:16. Their bodies were removed to Shechem and buried in the tomb of Abraham had brought from the family of Hamor in Shechem for a certain sum of money. Going on to 7:17 in Acts. At this time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise God had made to Abraham. The number of people in Egypt increased greatly until there arose another king who had no knowledge of Yosef. Where is that recorded? But in Exodus, in Hebrew Shemot, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And with cruel cunning, this man forced our fathers to put their newborn babies outside their homes so that they would not survive. It was then that Moshe was born. And he was a beautiful in God's sight. And for 3 months, he was reared in his father's house. And what happened during that time of those 3 months? After those 8 days, he received the Brit Milah, the covenant of circumcision. And that's why later, as he was growing as a young man, and he saw his lower parts, he probably noticed it looked different than the other Egyptians that were around him, because he had the mark of his Brit Milah in his own body. And he probably went up to his mother, because at 3 months of age, when he was put out of his household, he was not raised in the Hebrew culture and understanding what was done to him. And as he saw that he was different than the other boys that were with him, he probably began to ask questions, asking questions of his adoptive mother. And I believe that by the Spirit of the Living God, she revealed to him his true identity. Going forward here. Verse 7:21, and when he was put out of his home, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her son. So Moshe was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and became a powerful speaker and a man of action. But when he was 40 years old, the thought came to him to visit his brothers, the people of Israel. Think about that. All these years had passed, okay? It was revealed to him his identity, but he was so caught up in the world and the things of Egypt that it took the Spirit of the Living God to kind of tap him and bring it to his remembrance. Hey, you don't fit here. God has a call on your life. Going forward here. Verse 7:24. On seeing one of them being mistreated, he went to his defense and took revenge by striking down the Egyptian. In other words, he acted just like all the other Egyptians. Okay? Because in the hierarchy of the nation, they were at the top. The very top of all things. All right? And with him being what? A adopted child of a princess, the daughter of the king, who was not only the king, but in those Egyptians' eyes, he was literal God being manifested in human flesh. That's what was going on. Okay? So going forward here in 7:25, he supposed his brothers would understand that God was using him to rescue them, but he didn't understand. When he appeared the next day, as they were fighting, and he tried to make peace between them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" The one who was mistreating his fellow pushed Moshe away and said, "Who made you ruler over us?" Think about the boldness that came upon that guy. Because you know what? Moses, his haircut, his clothing, his speech, he probably has an Egyptian accent to it. And here's a slave striking an Egyptian. All right? So that slave who has been living under 400 years of oppression, all of a sudden there was a boldness that came to push, to lay his hands upon a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about that. That got Moshe's attention. Going on here. The one who was mistreating his fellow pushed Moshe away and said, "Who made you ruler over us? Do you want to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Where is that recorded? Exodus 2:14. On hearing this, Moshe fled the country and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. What were those two sons' names? Gershom and Eliezer. All right? Going on. Now, verse 7:30. After 40 more years, an angel appeared to him in the desert near Mount Sinai in the flames of a burning bush. How old is Moshe now? He's 80 years old. In America, most 80 years old people are what? They're retired, right? So he's at the age of retirement, And what Grace read earlier today, that a Levite, he was only served at the age of 25, where he came to full maturity, had his wits about him, had been observing since a young boy would be observing, young teenager, the process of doing all these things, because that occupation was handed down from father to son, from generation to generation, okay? And it was only up to the age of 50, then it was mandatory retirement. So here is Moshe, 30 years past mandatory retirement. And this is before the Torah has been released. This is before the Levitical system even starts. At age 80, God says, now you're ready. Now you're mature. Now you're pliable. Now I can use you. You've been humbled. All the things of the world that you saw as precious have been taken away from you. And you become an exile. So going forward here. After 40 years, an angel appeared to him in a desert near Mount Sinai in the flaming of a burning bush. And when Moshe saw this, he was amazed at the sight, and he approached to get a better look. And there came the voice of Adonai, the very first time he ever heard it, ever recorded in Scripture, is now, going forward. And what does Adonai say? He introduces himself. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. But Moshe trembled with fear and did not dare look. And think about this. What happened when Moses appeared through the wilderness and came to Midian? You remember the story? He goes out there and he sees there's these young women, and they brought their sheep in, right? But then there are these other shepherds who are males, and they're pushing them back and not allowing them to draw water from the well. And what does Moshe do? He goes there and he assists them. And what is the introduction? All right. They bring him back to their father and says, this Hebrew? No. This Egyptian delivered us. And that's why we're back so early at this time of day in watering the flocks. And when the high priest of Midian sees Moshe for the first time, his haircut, his appearance, his whole body language is what? But Egyptian. But the only one that sees Moshe in his Jewish identity is at the burning bush and says to him, I'm the God of your fathers. And this is what your true identity is. Though it was hidden from you for a time, though you did not were not raised up in this culture, this is your identity. And I'm calling you. Going on now quickly to chapter 7, verse 33. And Adonai said to him, take off your sandals, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. He's saying, this is how you are to approach me. I am your God, and you are to do what I desire for you to do, and show me utmost respect and fear, that you cannot come as you are, but you're to humble yourself and remove your sandals. The removing of the sandals in the wilderness, you didn't go anywhere without your sandals. Why? Because there's thorns, there's rocks, there's danger, there's heat. Have you ever been on a hot beach? What happens? Where's my shoes? Forget the beach, forget the water. Where's my shoes? Okay, now let's move quickly here. Verse 734, I've clearly seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt, and I've heard their cry. I've come down to rescue them. Now I will send you to Egypt. Where is that recorded? But in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 735. This Moshe whom they rejected, saying, who made you ruler and judge, is the very one whom God has sent, both as a ruler and a ransomer. by means of an angel that appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, performing miracles and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea in the wilderness for 40 years. So, he started at age 80. 40 years pass. How old is he now? He's now 120 at the end of the 40 years. Now, how many 120-year-old people do you know are leading a congregation, a mega congregation of millions of people through a wilderness that has to walk in the presence of Adonai? Otherwise, everyone's going to die from thirst or hunger. And they're exposed to the elements. That's a miracle of God. And what does the scripture say? Their clothes and their sandals did not wear out. Let's move now quickly forward. 7:37. This is the Moshe who said to the people of Israel, God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers. Where is that? But Deuteronomy 18:15. This is the man who was in the assembly in the wilderness, accompanied by an angel that had spoken to him at Mount Sinai, and by our fathers, the man who has given the living word to pass on to us. In all those things, blessed be the name of Adonai. Amen. Going on. But our fathers did not want to obey him. What did Grace share earlier today? We're to simply walk in his instruction. Walk and do what God says, no more, no less. Otherwise, we get into trouble and we miss out. And he says, okay, Frank, you can sit there and just keep wandering around in circles. I'll get back to you when you say, I give up. I repent. I'm willing to do it your way and not my own. Going forward now. On contrary, they rejected him and in their hearts turned to what? To Egypt. They're turning back to what was the focal point of Moses in his life at different times of his life. Adonai had to send him to the wilderness to get Egypt out of his heart. But what do the people want to do? They want to go back. Now going forward very quickly. Saying to Aaron, make us some gods and lead us, because this Moshe who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. That's Exodus 32:1-23. That was when they made an idol in the shape of a calf and offered sacrifice to it and held a separation in honor of what they had made with their own hands, God of their own creations, which resembled them. Going on. So God turned away from them and gave them over to worship the stars. Where is that recorded in? But in Jeremiah 19:13. As has been written in the book of the prophets. And this is what it says out of Jeremiah. People of Israel, it was not to me that you offered slaughtered animals and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness. Okay? And I say this to you, when the third temple is erected and the sacrifices begin, the morning and evening sacrifices, Adonai will not be receiving them. Why? Because he's already prepared another way, who is what? Yeshua. And that's why after 3.5 years, those sacrifices will go and go forward, and Jewish people will go back to biblical Judaism. Is preparing their hearts and minds in knowing this, that Adonai is not going to accept those sacrifices because his own son has made the ultimate sacrifice. And that's why he'll allow the abomination that leads to desolation to arise so that the Jewish people will cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, and not put their trust in America or any nation upon this earth, but their trust in Adonai himself. Going on. No, you carried the tent of Molech and the star of your god, Rephan, and the idols you made so that you could worship them. Therefore, I'll send you into exile beyond Babel, which is Babylon. Where's that recorded from? In Amos 5, 25 and through 27. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness. It had been made just as God who spoke to Moshe had ordered it to be made, according to the pattern Moshe had seen upon that mountain. Later on, our fathers who had received it brought it with Joshua, when they took the land away from the nations that God drove out before them. So it was until the days of David, he enjoyed God's favor and asked if he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Yaakov. And Shlomo, who is Solomon, did build him a house. But Ha-El-Yon does not live in places made by hand, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, says Adonai, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? What kind of place could you devise for my rest? That's taken from Tehillim, Psalm 13, 2, 5, and 7. Didn't I myself make all these things? Recording in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Stiff-necked people. Was that ever said first? In Exodus 32, 9, 33, 3 through 5. With uncircumcised hearts and ears. Where is that recorded? But in Vayikra, Leviticus 26, 41. Jeremiah 6:10, 9:10, 9:25, and 26. You continually oppose the Ruach HaKodesh. Where is that found? But in Isaiah, Yeshayahu 6:10, 63:10. You do the same things that your fathers did. Which of these prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who told in advance of the coming of the Tzaddik, the Messiah, the promised righteous one. Now you have become betrayers and murderers. You who received the Torah as having been delivered by angels but do not keep it. On hearing these things, they were cut to their hearts and ground their teeth at him. Continuing, but he, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, who is he here but Stephen, looked up to heaven and saw God's Shekinah with Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. Look, he exclaimed, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man, Yeshua, standing at the right hand of God. Where is that recorded first? In Psalms 110:1. And at this they began yelling at the top of their voices so they wouldn't hear him, and with one accord they rushed at him. They threw him outside the city and began stoning him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Shaul, someone that we've just been introduced to, that's going to have a massive transformation in his life and character in the near future. Verse 59, and as they were stoning him, Stephen called out to God, Lord Yeshua, receive my spirit. Then he kneeled, excuse me. Then he kneeled down and he shouted out, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And with this, he died. Don't hold this sin against him. Stephen was the very first known Messianic Jew to die. In Hebrew, Al Kiddush Hashem, in the sanctification of the name of God. The very first one. That is a martyr to his faith in Messiah Yeshua as his Adonai, as his Lord. And so he's laid the template, he's laid the legacy for us to follow. That all who come and proclaim the name of Messiah lay down their lives, that the kingdom of God shall be built. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shabbat shalom.